as he is in the Spirit, we will have fellowship with him. And in that fellowship, we have victory. Now, if you can prove to me by some other method, you can do it after service if you want, that we are to continue sinning, then please enlighten me, because I don't see it. We're to choose the way of victory in Christ. Secondly, I better keep moving along here. We are given the promise that in Christ we are free from... Free from sin's penalty. Not only its power, but its penalty. Suppose a man committed murder and he was caught red-handed and he knew his only choice was to admit to the crime, and he decided that he would have to plead guilty because there was no getting out of it. And the day of his trial came, and he entered his plea, which was none other than guilty, and the judge heard the man's confession, saw all of the evidence, and he knew without a doubt that that man stood before him had committed the crime. And then the judge ruled that the man had committed the crime, yes, but instead of punishing him, the judge decided to take the penalty upon himself and set the man free. I've never heard of that happening, except once. Yeah. And instead of punishing the man, he took his place, died in his place, and by virtue of the man's sacrifice, the man that did the crime was not condemned or had to suffer the consequences. Now we say that's an impossible story. No, it already happened. The judge of the entire universe, as we said earlier, already knows we're guilty of forsaking him. And the death penalty, the penalty for that is death. Not just the body, but the spirit. Death as in separated from God forever. Because God's holy, right? He's without sin. He's holy in every way and righteous. And if he let sinners unpunished come into his presence, it would destroy his holiness, his righteousness, his justness, his goodness, because we'd be there. So justice has to be served, and the judge says, guilty. Now, I still want you to live, so I'll take the death penalty for you. Somebody's got to pay. That's justice. Somebody's got to pay, and there's not one of you that could pay the penalty and live. But I want you to live, so I'll pay it. And he went to the cross, and he died there. Yeah, he died. He didn't fall asleep. He didn't pass out. He was dead as a doornail. Put in the grave, and on the third day, came back to life. Conquered hell, conquered the judgment that's upon us, conquered our penalties. My friends, it doesn't get any better than that. So, be thankful. The only response we can give is one of thanks. We can't say to God, well, I'll pay you back. No, we can't. It's priceless. All we can do is say thank you. Thank you from the depths of our hearts. Romans chapter 6, which we didn't read that, but tells about the wages of sin. And Romans 8 tells about the victory over sin. So what can we do? What can we do just in, other than say thanks, what can we do? We can live for him. That's what we can do. spend these few short years, and yeah, if you make it to 100, it's still going to be a few short years. The least we could do is live our life for Him, as was intended from the beginning. And so that brings us to the third promise, and that is this, that we are promised a freedom to live by the Spirit of God, not by the spirit of domination, not by the spirit of condemnation, not by the spirit of intimidation, not by the spirit of... Are there any other shuns in there? That are all penalties. We're able now to live by the Spirit. We couldn't do that before because we were lost. We were broken. We were standing guilty before the judge's seat. We couldn't do that before, but now that Christ has paid the penalty and the power is there to live unto Him, we can walk in the Spirit of God. There was a man years ago, Mr. Yates. Mr. Yates was very poor. And it was during the time of economic disaster. He lived in Texas. And he owned this farm. And it was all he could do. Well, he couldn't make the mortgage payment. He couldn't even make the interest payment. And he knew that the ultimate result was he's going to lose the farm and his stock and all of that. And he would take his sheep out and graze them on the pastures there in Texas, and pondered what it's doomed. I'm doomed. There's no getting out of this now. And one day, a surveyor came along, a geologist maybe, and they said, "We think there might be oil on your land. Would you allow us to do a test drill?" And he's like, "I don't have anything to lose. Go ahead." They went about 1,700 feet down into the ground and struck oil. I mean, a massive oil reserve. Massive. That well alone was going to produce 80,000 gallons a day. They went on to dig in some other places and found some other wells that produced even more. He went from rags to riches, not knowing how the next day was going to play out. You know what? He owned that oil before they ever found it. The only reason he was living in rags was because he didn't know it was there. I believe that we as Christian people do not understand the resources available to us to live in the Spirit. They're deep. They're abundant. And we say, "I can't live in victory. I just keep failing, failing, failing." Well, if that's the case, you're not taking advantage of the resources. Did you know that the Holy Spirit of God is a real person? That He does a real work, that He never fails, He always works with abundance, and it's time we stop living like sinful paupers, that we live in victory, the power to be redeemed from sin, the power to live above sin, and the power to walk in the Spirit of God is available to us. If we will simply take advantage of the resources, when we call upon His name, when we believe in who He is, when we commit all that we are to Him, and we invite Him in to do more than we can even imagine. Do you think He can? Do you think He's powerful enough? Do you think if He created the entire world and all that is in it, that He's able to sustain this creation? Well, that's better. The resources of the power of God are available to all who will believe and embrace Him. Don't live beneath our privileges. The privileges of freedom. Freedom from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, and freedom to be alive unto Him by His Spirit. And a Father that is so gracious that if we do stumble, He'll pick us up. Is that beautiful? Gravity's pretty strong, isn't it? We can overcome it, but if we do, He doesn't want us to, but if we do stumble, He picks us up. He picks us up. I don't get it. Why does He say, "That was your last chance, Jim. I've had enough of your monkey business." Instead, He says to me, "Son," or to our daughter, "child of mine, you shouldn't have stumbled, but I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to pull you back up." What the law was unable to do, in that it was powerless, Christ Jesus does by His own Spirit. I'm going to be really bold here, and I'm going to give you some homework. I dare you. Tomorrow, when you get up in the morning, say to God this: "I choose to not sin today. I choose You. I pray that Your Spirit will so engulf me and empower me that I won't live in sin today." And then the next day, do it again. "God, You are who You say You are. I am who You say I am. You are the all-powerful One. I want to walk in victory today. I intend to do it. Help me keep my eyes on You, my heart on You, and to desire the things of who You are more than anything else in my life." Here's going to be His response. "Okay." Because He is for us and not against us. He's all about our victory, not our demise. You say, "Well, what is sin?" Anything that's displeasing to His character and His will. Anything that He is displeasing to his character and His will. I think revival could break out when His church stands up in holiness the way He intends for it to be. It is His will, you know. And He's graciously given us His power. Let's pray. Lord, help us to take this homework seriously. Because You're serious about transforming us. You're serious about setting us free. You're serious about cleansing our hearts. You are serious about us walking in holiness. You are serious about us being the children of God who emulate the Father in heaven. So help us to take this homework seriously. And Lord, help us to not buy into myths that this is impossible. Everything in your word says it's possible. And we want to be the pure, lovely bride of Christ. So help us, I pray. Make us new. Set us free. May the old things pass away, and may all things become new, I pray. We can't do it on our own, Father. We need you. We need you to move upon us. May it be so, I pray. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Paul, go ahead and run that closing video for us. Rejoice. Rejoice, O children of God.
For a glorious song,
I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
Set free.
For when
I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be. Oh, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. For a glorious song,
I'm free,
praise the Lord, free at last. Oh, I've traded my shackles for a glorious song.
I'm free.
Or understood them just a little bit more. God is opening a door for you. and he invites you to come in. I encourage you this day to walk into his invitation to be set free from sin and the darkness thereof. It's real simple. I hear your voice, Lord, speaking to me, and I say yes. I say yes. Amen. Go in freedom today.